Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy.
Hello.
Hello, John. With the way this just started was just, we didn't even click play and Devin started the music prompt to in and it was like, whoa, we're starting. Okay. You didn't hear it on your end, but I heard it on my end. We're sitting here chit-chatting about a book and I'm like, oh, hello, we're starting. Oh, the Jazz are 5-5. We're home for one game, on the road for another, and life can't be all that bad right now, can it?
Not at all. I mean, the Jazz are 5-2 when Rudy's ankle is 100%, so...
Yes. When Rudy's ankle is 100%, and when it's not 100%, well, we're just not going to talk about it. Well, and the Jazz have played 8 of 10 on the road to start the season. So, you know, I mean, 1-1 at home, 4-4 on the road, that's not a bad mark if you're thinking about, you know, if you're looking for positives to start the season. And if the playoffs were to start today, we're the 7th seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, can't complain. Jazz are in a good position right now, I think.
Yeah, I really like their upcoming schedule, too. I mean, we get Toronto at home, and Toronto is 7-4 right now, but when you look at where they're, how they're trending, they won their first 5 games, but they've lost 4 of their last 6, and the 2 that they did win were against the Pelicans and the 76ers. So I would argue they are actually not doing that great right now. Oh, yeah, and they're playing the Warriors tonight, so they'll probably get killed in that one.
It's sad. It's really sad when we just look at whoever the Jazz are playing and look at the previous game, and it's the Warriors, and we all assume right away they're getting killed. Period. Done. 82-0. Yeah. Golden State's going 82-0.
Well, they'll probably go like 30-0, and then they'll just be like, let's just rest all of our starters and see if we still win.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. They're just – Steph Curry's averaging the most points per game that any player has ever averaged in the history of the game that we know of since stats have been come into play. I mean, you know, it's – why not? Celebrate what it is right now.
Yeah.
So – So back to the Jazz. They've got Toronto tomorrow night, which I don't know if you're going to be there, John, but I will be there, and I'm doing my best to drag Devin there with me tomorrow night. So, or tonight for those who are listening today, tonight Jazz and Toronto. So should be a good home game, third home game of the season.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to make it to a Jazz game until after Thanksgiving, but. They have a really good chance against them tonight, or, well, most people listening to this will be watching it tonight.
Yes.
Then they go on the road to Dallas, and Dallas is another team where it looks like they're doing great. They are also 7-4, but, you know, I look at their games. Okay, they've won 5 of the last 6.
Okay.
Well, 4 of those were the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Rockets, and the Sixers. You know, so it's another one where maybe there's some fool's gold going on.
So what you're saying is 1 out of those 4 games was against an elite playoff team. The other 3 were against, well, we don't know about one of them yet.
Yeah, I don't take anything away from the Clippers. That's a good win. That's a solid win in any book.
Well,
but the Rockets have been playing horrible.
Right.
And the Pelicans have been playing horrible, and the Sixers have been playing horrible.
And I'm not sure how much I want to put on the Pelicans yet either because, well, they're just – they don't see – they have the injury bug worse than any other team in the NBA right now.
They do. And Dallas split their games with Pelicans.
Yeah. So
they won a home game and then they lost a road game with them.
So, and that's on the road Thursday. So the Jazz brief stint at home, then back on the road, and then they are back home. In fact, after Thursday, they don't play again until Monday night, I believe.
Well, yeah, it's Monday.
Yeah.
And the Thunder, they will have enjoyed some home games. They have home with Pelicans, Knicks, and Mavericks. And then they'll come on the road to play the Jazz. They should be feeling pretty good about themselves at that point. They're 6-5 now. I expect them to be 8-6 by then. I don't think Durant's back from injury yet. 7 to 10 days. So he should be back in the lineup by the time they play the Jazz. So
if Kevin
Durant is back, then yeah.
Yeah, that's bad news for the Jazz. I mean, look at what they did in the preseason, and it looked to me like they wanted to play like it was the regular season in that preseason game where Durant looked fantastic. Westbrook looked amazing. I mean, they looked really good in Salt Lake in that preseason game. That's a game where you can almost chalk it up to be a loss, but you never know. The Jazz play up to their level, to the higher level of competition at home, so who knows? And we haven't really had a good test of home court yet. And we saw them lose an ugly game to Portland and then turn around and win, that next weekend against, was it Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so the Jazz, we don't know what this monster's like at home yet. We really don't on a consistent basis yet.
Yeah. I mean, you have your first 10 games, and you can learn a lot from that. But it's nice that when you're eight out of 10 on the road, that you can come away with a 5-5 record. It doesn't really matter what those teams were. That's a pretty good ratio. And now we need them to reestablish some home dominance. And if they can do that, I have a hard time picking them beating the Thunder when Kevin Durant is there. If Durant's not there, if he isn't fully himself, then I think the Jazz can win that. But Jazz really should win Toronto and Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at their schedule, trying to think when the next time the Jazz have their next four games, they're at home, on the road, at home, on the road. When are we going to have an 8-10 at home, situation for the Jazz at this point in time? That's what I'm waiting for, because it looks like their schedule. Okay. So they finally get two in a row, because Saturday the 28th, they have the Pelicans visiting, and then the following Monday the Warriors come to town. But it's a pattern of every other for the next week or so, and so you don't get any you don't get a whole lot of home stands here. I'm ready for a home stand for the Jazz. We've had 8-10 on the road. Let's bring it home for a few games now.
Yeah, well, after Thanksgiving there's a 4-game home stand: Pelicans, Warriors, Magic, and Pacers. Then they go on the road against the Kings, and then there's two more home games with Knicks and Thunder.
So there's your stretch.
They're really loaded on road games early, which means there's going to be a lot of patches during the season where they have homestands. I mean, they have a 6-game homestand in January, bleeding into February. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 of their last 9 games of the season are at home. So there's places where they're going to catch up.
I'm looking way ahead on the schedule. I'm kind of happy Star Wars comes out on December 18th, because that week's going to be brutal for the Jazz, because they they host the Thunder on Friday the 11th, and then they play a home and home. So they're back on the road at the Thunder on the 13th, and then back to back at the Spurs the very next night. So I that's the week of Star Wars. I'll happily bury myself in Star Wars to avoid the pain of what could very well be a nasty little stretch of games.
but it won't be open yet.
Yeah, but after they've played that stretch of nasty home games, I'll be able to bury my sorrows or frustration in Star Wars, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see?
Well, they play the Pelicans on the 16th, so.
Yeah.
I have no reason to believe the Pelicans are ever going to get good this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, even if they get healthy, you're not expecting it?
How healthy is healthy for them? I mean, what can we really look forward to with the what can the Pelicans really look forward to? Let me put it that way. What can they really look forward to with health?
I don't know. I mean, the other question I have to add to that is, how much are you taking away from what Gentry can do with them over the course of the season? Or is Gentry just doomed to be a bad coach again?
Well, it's going to take him a while to get them, you know, with what he wants to do. But, you know, they have no idea when Norris Cole's coming back. Tyreek's probably not going to be back until December. Kendrick Perkins, I don't think he really matters, but he's going to be gone for half the season.
Wait, he's still relevant?
Yeah, I know. You know, Drew Holiday's on limited minutes. Anthony Davis is playing great, but he just doesn't have the supporting cast to really do anything with it. I mean, they are the worst defense in the NBA right now. And that was kind of the knock with Monty Williams, was they were a decent offense, but they were a bad defense. But now Alvin Gentry's taken over, and they're the worst defense.
And I'm going to say this. I said this in the offseason. Gentry, when has Gentry ever been a good defensive coach? He hasn't. All of his teams, even when he was in Phoenix, have always been good offensively. They've put points on the board, but they've never been very good defensively. He's got a track record where he just is not, cannot get the best out of him defensively. So that does not surprise me at all. It doesn't. You know, are they going to put 120 points on the board? I figure they probably can on plenty nights. But they're going to give up 115 in the process. Right?
Yeah, he was the coach of the run and gun Suns.
Yep. And they weren't very good defensively, John. They weren't.
No, they weren't. They weren't. I'm just kind of scrolling through their numbers. They were a lot of fun offensively. They were the number one offense 1 year.
Yes, they were.
But, you know, if you go back to when he's with the Clippers, back when the Clippers were terrible every year, no, he wasn't in the top half of defense there. Before that, he was head coach of Detroit. They were a good defense in Detroit. Okay, you got to go back to his Detroit days when he was a good defensive coach.
But how
we're
long
talking like 1999.
Well,
98,
you just
99.
But you just went back 16, 17 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going back. I'm going back to the Grant Hill, Jerry Stackhouse Pistons. That's how far back you got to go when Alvin Gentry was a good defensive coach.
John, some of our listeners weren't alive at that point.
He's probably right. But
I'm looking at their roster. There's not a single guy on that roster who's still in the NBA.
Well, all right then.
You had Christian Laettner.
You mean he had two Dookies on that team?
Yeah, he had John Crotty and Mikey Moore. Two Jazz men were there.
Ah, good old Mikey Moore. But again, that proves my point. You have to go back 17 years. To find the last time Alvin Gentry was any good defensively.
You have to go back to turquoise uniforms. Wasn't that when they had the turquoise uniforms up there?
In Detroit? Was it?
That sounds right.
It has to be about then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back when gas was 99 cents a gallon.
I remember those days. When it only cost me $10 to fill up my tank when I took a vacation, and I only had to worry about spending $50 in gas for the entire vacation.
back when the Jazz were on K-Jazz.
Wow. Yep. That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gas was $3 a gallon in 2000.
$3?
Yeah. Remember that? Remember we had that recession?
That's when it hiked because it was like 98, 99. It was like $1, $1.50. So it hiked up. It was like that one year where it. All right, we're getting off topic here. and John and I are aging ourselves on this podcast with this conversation too. So anyway. All right, so that's what we have to look forward to with the Jazz. Let's talk about this road. Let's talk about the road trip they were just on. 4-game road trip. Anything surprise you in this road trip?
Surprise me. I guess my biggest surprise is how Hayward still isn't up to Hayward standards. I would say that's probably my biggest surprise. Because everything else I expected. I expected that the Jazz would not do well with Rudy out of the lineup.
Right.
I expect Quinn to keep finishing games with the three-guard lineup. With the three-wing lineup, I should say.
Which has actually worked very well for him, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's worked great. And you know, he's probably going to be doing that more. I've been very pleased with Trey. At this point, it just seems like Quinn's content to give Hal Netto the first 5 minutes of the first and third, and that's about it. But I was just looking at, Trey's numbers where you look at his three seasons, his first two seasons. They're almost identical. In fact, you could say they're probably a little bit worse the second year because his shooting's a little bit worse, while his field goal attempts were up, and that's the only reason he scored exactly 12.8 points in year two as he did in year one. But this year, if you go to his per 36, his per 36 is 19.4 points, and this is with him shooting 48%.
Oh, but let's talk about
48.4 from three.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm glad you said that. From downtown, the guy's been practically unconscious.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking just a little over three a game, which is good. We need him to take that many. And let me confirm. Yeah, it's not as many as he was taking the first 2 years. So he's taking him a little less often, but he's getting off smarter shots, and so his accuracy has greatly improved. His PER was 12.6 the first 2 years. Right now he's at 19.2.
That's very good.
Yeah, he has done everything you could hope that he would do this so far this year.
And advanced stats aside, because I know advanced stats will go against what I'm about to say, but from a standpoint of watching him on the court, his defense or his defensive aggressiveness has actually improved too, I think. He still gets caught, and especially against bigger guards, especially against the better guards, but he seems to fight through screens a lot more. I don't see him go under screens nearly as much as he used to. It seems like he's playing defense a little bit more. He's been aggressive, and that's exactly what Quinn wants from him, and that's what you can hope for as a Jazz fan watching him play.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better this year with his defensive assignments. He's showing more confidence in his teammates. But he's not like just giving up either. I mean, there were a lot of complaints when he would, you know, he's not the quickest guy. And so when guys would get past him, you'd see him say something to the big guy. And I was like, oh, why are you yelling at the big guy? You're the one that missed your defensive assignment. But when you watch the way they're moving, I think Trey is a lot more crisp in his own defensive assignments. And when his guy gets past him, the help defense is there quicker. And we did see a lot of this towards the end of the year last year. but they've kind of gotten back to their identity, and they're just dominating defensively right now. But they need their offense. The team needs their offense to be more consistent, to be able to get some of these games, you know, not so down to the wire. But when it comes to offense, Trey is doing his part. Trey is one of the bright spots on offense.
Agreed.
They just need Hayward to get back to Haywardness.
While we're on this subject of offense, wow, what is going on in the background there? John, are you there?
Yeah, I just hit mute while my wife opened a bag of chips.
Sweet. So while we're on the subject of offense, one of the players that I, you know, and that I was impressed with this last week on his four-game stretch, Alec Burks, who has, mind you, has played a very strong year to this point through 10 games. But last week on the four-game road trip, in 29 minutes a game, he was averaging 19.3 points per game, shooting 45.5% from the floor. But here's this one for you, a blistering 60% from downtown. And he's doing that averaging just under just barely under four attempts a game from three-point land. That's some good numbers from Alec Burks off the bench. That's some good numbers from Alec Burks as a whole. If you got a guy that's averaging 19 a game, that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, and he's over 50% from three-point land.
Yeah, 60.
And
are you talking on the season? Yeah, on the season he's over 50. Yeah.
If you go to his per 36, he's at 20.8 points, which is awesome. He's having his strongest offensive year yet.
And I looked at his true shooting percentage, and I think he's sitting right around 57% true shooting percentage, which is really good too.
He's 56, and if he can hold on to that, that will be a career best.
Yeah, well, and you look what he's doing at the free throw line. I think he's having a career best from the free throw line as far as shooting, as far as percentage. But he's getting he's getting back to the form we saw from 2 years ago, where he's getting to the line an awful lot. And that's a good thing too for him, for the team, for Jazz fans. It's a very positive thing when you're getting that from Alec Burks. Could you imagine if we get Hayward back on track? You have Hayward on track. You have Favors, who's already just, you know, I mean, he's aggressive and showing signs of just massive improvement offensively. Now you throw Alec Burks into the mix, who's averaging 19 a game. Now you've got Trey Burke, who's also doing the same thing. I mean, the team's going to start clicking on all cylinders here. And I think the offensive woes that everybody's going to be concerned about, I think are going to work themselves out.
Yeah, Favors is playing like an all-star right now.
Yes, he is.
I mean, if there was a way to cut out those two flu games that kind of dragged down his overall numbers, I'm trying to remember, Locke actually talked about this morning, where he said that Favors, he's like in the top 15 in offense and top 10 in defense of all the players in the NBA, something like that.
Well, and it was Locke who also mentioned that he is number 6th in the league in steals per game. And he's a big man.
Yeah.
6th in the league in steals per game.
2.2 a game.
Yeah, that's huge. From your big man, that's huge. So, no, there's a lot to be positive about. Did the 1-3, I mean, I guess without Rudy Gobert for two of those games, did the 1-3 of those games, did the 1-3 really surprise you on the stretch?
No, and I'm trying to remember when he had his flu games. It seems like Cleveland was one of them.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean,
and so you had him not playing well, and then you had Rudy go down in the fourth, and
really the only,
it was kind of rough.
The only rough game in that four game stretch was Orlando, where the Jazz really got themselves in a hole and had to dig out and never really dug themselves out. You go beyond that, they lost by 1 to Miami and they lost by 4 to Cleveland. you know, give or take a couple of shots, and this could have been a 3-1 road trip. So I actually feel very positive and good about the way that this road trip went.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at all of their games, the only blowout loss they've had was against the Blazers, and the Blazers were just playing out of their minds that night. You have not seen that happen since. The games have been a lot closer lately too. I mean, they had these nice, gigantic blowout wins against the Sixers and Pacers, but all the games since have been, well, they beat the Grizzlies by 10, and it could have been by more. That was a nice win. And then, you know, all four of them were close. Well, maybe not the Magic. But they could have beat the Cavs. They could have beat the Heat. They could have lost to the Hawks.
Yeah, they could have.
So, Paul, you know, Millsap. If they had had Rudy, let's put it this way. If they had had Rudy, I do think the Jazz would be, 7-3 right now?
That's a fair assessment. And the Jazz, yeah, you're right about that Hawks game. A Millsap shot away from losing that game.
Yeah.
Millsap had a good look. So, no, I think there's a lot to look forward to. Devin, any thoughts to contribute on this?
I'd like to do a few rapid fire questions with you guys. I think that was pitched as an idea to us a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So I'll let you start off, John, and then we'll go to Alan with the same question. How do you feel about your big situation with Withy?
I definitely like Withy more than Plyce for this year. He came in the Atlanta game, and you couldn't tell it from his stat line, but he played so solidly. He was just such a solid player for them. Just in making the spacing right on defense and kind of providing some anchor that doesn't go as well when you move Favors to the five and you have Booker at the four. But when Favors was able to play next to Withy, it was really encouraging. I'll put it that way. It was encouraging.
Alan, your take?
I like Withy. I feel the same way John does. And, you know, one play sums it up for me. Sunday night versus the Hawks. And I think it was Horford that tried to go baseline on him and turn around with that little turnaround jump hook. And Withy was there to meet him at the top of the shot before it even left his fingertips. And I'm like, you know what? That's your guy right there. Defensively, he knows where he has to be on the floor. He has a nose for the ball and does exactly what you want him to do. I was disappointed that he got no minutes against Miami. They activated in that game, and I wondered why we never saw him that night against Miami. And that was the night that Trey Lyles got torched by Chris Bosh. So I wish Withy had played that night.
Okay, let me ask you this. If Withy is your guy, Alan, do you send Plyce down to the D-League?
Yes.
Get some more experience?
Yes.
John, you agree?
Yes.
Okay, next question. Guard situation. We talked about this a little bit last week. Should Trey Burke be starting, or are you happy with where he's at coming off the bench and getting the starter minutes? Alan?
Oh, gosh. I know it's rapid fire. This kills me because I like Trey, and I am so in love with what he's doing with his game right now and how he's playing. Howell gives you what you need defensively at times, but I like what Trey brings more. But right now, I wouldn't mess with a good thing. So, no, I'd leave him right where he's at because I think he's servicing exactly what you want him to do.
Okay, John, what about your take on that?
I'd start Trey.
Okay, why?
I think he's earned it. I think he's clearly playing much better than Neto. I think you could get quicker starts in the first quarter if you had Trey's possibility of offense out there. So far, I mean, Neto's probably more likely to get you a steal, but his liability on offense makes it a little harder for everybody else. I think the space that Trey could create might help Gordon get off to faster starts too.
And that, I'm glad you answered that.
I just think he's earned it.
I'm glad you answered that because I agree with everything you said. I agree he's earned it. I would like more than anything for him to start. But I'm afraid to mess with it as it is right now because I feel like what he gives you off the bench you need more than anything because you're not getting that consistently from anybody else. Book's not going to give you a consistent night off the bench. So where are you going to get scoring from otherwise? Alec Burks, he's going to continue. But we've shown – it's almost shown where the Jazz have had to rely on their depth at the guard, and Trey and Alec have had to be their scorers off the bench. I don't know. Just my thought.
Okay, so let's go one more question because this has come up. I saw an article on KSL today that said the Jazz need to make a move for a guard. And I've seen a lot of people say after what happened to Rudy, no, the Jazz need depth at the big man position. Jazz have a little bit of money to spend. They have some assets. You have to go for one or the other. Which one do you go for? John, start it off.
I think I would look at a big man, someone who could play the three and the four, but more of the four. Trevor has been wildly inconsistent so far, and Trey Lyles has shown that he's a ways away from contributing. So if I was going between the two, I think I would err on the side of a bigger guy.
Okay, Alan.
Dang it, this one's a tough one. For all the reasons John just said, I want to say a guard because I think, again, Neto has proven that maybe he's not going to give you what you need necessarily yet either. Maybe some hustle defensively, maybe give you some help on the defensive and hustle end and some passing, but that's what you're getting out of him. And right now, Neto is a very one-dimensional player as a guard. And it, you could say the same as Trey offensively, that he's one-dimensional, not great defensively. But I almost think if I were to make a move, I still was comfortable before with, ooh, I'm talking myself out of this because we've talked about the four-guard lineup and we like it. So maybe I talk myself out of this and agree with John here that maybe it is a big because we've proven that we can go a game with both Hood and Burks in the game and we don't need a guard. All right, I'm going with John. I'm going with John.
I think the other thing you have to look at is this. You're making a move, but the Jazz don't want to make a move for 1 year. They don't want to go bring in a point guard for 1 year, and then they're like, no, we're back to Dante starting, and Trey's going to have this role that he's been playing off the bench. If you can make a move for a big man, I think you can make a move for someone that's going to stick and fit more into the long-term plan, whereas if you go with a point guard, I think you're really just doing something to try and fill an immediate need. I mean, they can do that, but I don't see them making a trade. I see them picking up maybe a guy that's a veteran that's just not on a roster right now that wants to come in and play a little bit, but isn't really concerned about minutes. I think that's – I'm with you, John, and Alan kind of caught up with us here. I think the big man is the smarter thing to go for if you can do an upgrade over, let's say, Booker or Withy or, you know, both. If you can bring someone in, I mean, they're not going to get a Paul Millsap, but can you imagine if they had a guy like Paul that could stretch the floor but also play big and play that four? Because Favors, if you remember, he had a huge game at Miami. What do you have, like 7 blocks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played the center position wonderfully. And I think he can do that for limited minutes. So if I'm looking for someone, my take is I would go for someone who's that stretch four, you know, but can be a good defender inside as well.
With all of that said, I'll say this. I don't think the Jazz make a trade or a move this year at all. I just don't think they will. I think they'll go the rest of the season as is. And the reason being, I still think Quinn believes that he has more to do with some of the players that are in current positions. If they make a move, it will be to move secondary players like Book or like, you know, Withy or someone that they may be able to package and move without moving any of their core guys and their group, that four guard lineup, I just don't see them making a lot of major moves to bring in anybody else major.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, Rudy is untouchable at this point. If I'm the Jazz, Favors is right there with him with the way that he's played and the way his contract is set up. Favors is a steal for what we're paying him.
Oh, and Favors is perfect for this community and market too. It's exactly the guy you'd like him to be in every way.
Favors is a dream come true. And I said it, I think, a week or two ago, that Darren Williams trade gets better every year.
You think?
Every single year. And I'm not just saying that because I was thinking about Darren and I was remembering, and I've had enough time pass that I can go, man, I really loved watching him play in Utah. I really loved him as a point guard. But Favors, I don't know. We're not to the peak of what he can become still. And I'm excited about it. But yeah. I don't think you'll see Hayward moved. I don't think you'll see Hood moved. I don't think you'll see Burks moved. I don't think you'll see Neto or Trey moved, Trey Burke. You know, I agreed. Really, why would you mess with that?
With your, I think your top six guys right there that you just mentioned, top seven, if you include Neto, I don't think the Jazz move any of them.
The closest guys that are part of the rotation to being moved are either Lyles or Booker.
Yep.
And I don't know how the Jazz feel about Lyles, where he's so new. They may say, you know what, we're gonna ride this out and see where he's at in a year or two.
And
because
there's
a lot of potential there.
And the only reason they move Booker is because Booker's an attractive expiring contract for another team that might want to kill some cap.
Well, you got to keep in mind they're keeping themselves flexible all year because they still have three guys with non-guaranteed contracts on the roster. And
Withy being one of them, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, Withy, Elijah Millsap, and Chris Johnson. So if they want to make any trades before those guys get fully guaranteed, that's when teams would want to make trades so they could then take those contracts on and waive them. So they could look at some of these teams that are stumbling early and might just go, let's just bag this season and, you know, trade our good players away to save some money and maybe get some second round picks or something. I don't know.
And I think of that group you mentioned, Withy is the one guy I don't think the Jazz move for any reason.
Really?
I don't think
he's not untouchable. I mean, I think if the right deal comes along,
move
with you.
I'm not saying untouchable, but what he's been bringing so far, if he does it consistently, I think the Jazz are content to not only guarantee him, but he might be a guy that they extend and bring back an extra year. I mean, he's great. He's more than just insurance for when Rudy Gobert sits. He's more than just insurance. Because I think,
let's not go crazy though. He's only played 32 minutes the entire year.
Okay, I understand that. I'm not getting crazy. I'm just suggesting. I think there is some value to Withy on the Jazz team right now that I don't see them looking to move him, unless there is just some player that, you know, a veteran player or something like that that they're willing to bring in that they think that can make the team marginally better.
See, I got to bring this up. I remember it was, I want to say this weekend, our buddy Spencer Wixom, I believe it's at Jazz Jargon, talked about a few guys that, you know, would you be interested in the Jazz trading for? And he threw out a name that I absolutely love, and I would trade Booker and some assets for, and that's Taj Gibson, but I don't see Chicago giving him up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if they were dangling him, I'd go for him.
Well, what was the somebody mentioned? It was Dan. Dan from Salt City Hoops mentioned that watch Miami because they're going to be looking to dump salary. And what about McRoberts? That if they were willing to move him, if as a Jazz fan, would you bring McBob here to Salt Lake City and trade away either Booker or Withy or both? In part, in some sort of a trade to bring McRoberts here? Is that doable?
It's doable. I mean,
he hasn't
really done much this year.
I mean, the argument is that he's a stretch four, gives you some outside shooting. Yes, no.
I don't know. I'm looking. He's not playing well so far this year.
Right. I don't know. We're throwing names around.
I mean, maybe he's only 28, so maybe he's just having a slow start or something. But
right.
I don't know. He only played 17 games last year. I'd be worried about him getting hurt again.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know. Just throwing some names out there. But like I said, in the end, I just don't think the Jazz are going to make a move at all. I really don't. I think the Jazz will stay pat all season long. And especially if they continue playing like they are and only getting better, I just don't see a reason why they'll try and make any moves.
Well, traditionally, they haven't.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Last year was kind of this their hand was forced situation where you saw them make a trade deadline move.
In his cancer. Cantor.
See, I think even if he hadn't gotten public, they would have made a move. I think they knew, you know, a month or two before he went public about it, that they were going to move him, that even with this new coach, they were seeing just how much effort it was taking from everyone to try to keep this guy happy. And yep. So here he was with a new coach. And now we think he'll be happy. And he was unhappy pretty quickly.
The only thing he liked when he went Salt Lake City was the mountains.
If anything, they might not have gotten as good a deal as they could have if Cantor hadn't gotten public.
Right.
Once he went public, it's like, okay, we got to get something.
But it's a rare situation, is what I'm getting at, I guess. And the Jazz, they shouldn't have that come up again. I mean, I could see maybe if Trey Burke was unhappy with his role and he wasn't getting the minutes, you might see something like that where they're like, hey, let's see if we can move him for a veteran point guard. You know, we're fully invested in Exum, maybe something like that. But if the Jazz are winning and Trey is getting minutes and he's playing as well as he has, I don't see a situation coming around like that. I don't.
I would not be surprised, because I think the Jazz have a vision of being like the 7th or 8th seed this year. I mean, they're not going to settle for 9th. They have to be at least the 7th or 8th this year. And then next year is when they will be trying for home court advantage.
Right.
But I think if they see a move this year that might get them a couple playoff spots higher, but won't do any damage to how they see themselves doing the year or two after that, they'll make that move. I have no idea what it would be. But if it presents itself, they'll do it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree, John. I think next offseason is going to be that moment where, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think that is when the Jazz make the move that I've heard fans complain about for years that they have not been willing to make.
Oh, and by the way, one of the things they have to look forward to in the offseason is a certain player who is entering his final year of his rookie contract.
Isn't this summer?
Yep. Isn't that Trey?
No.
There's it. No. Sorry. I'm getting back.
Trey and Rudy are in their third year.
Devin, scratch that from the podcast. We're deleting that
phrase.
They've
already extended Alex, so.
we're deleting that phrase from the podcast. I'm miscounting my years with Trey. That was why I miscounted my years. My bad.
Nope.
My bad. Yeah, I know. Oh, you would make it stay. All right. Sorry, guys. So I'm like up in the night. It's all good.
All right. Moving on. Anything else that we needed to talk about? Besides Alan being up in the night?
Well, we could talk about Trey's contract situation. Who is there? They don't have a guy.
You're funny.
Who did they draft between?
Oh, John's up in the night now.
I'm just looking at their roster and I'm looking at their experience, and they don't have anyone who's in their fourth year.
Right now?
I can't. Okay, there it is. Alec Burks. I just like, that's got to be wrong.
In his fourth year?
Yeah, Alec Burks is in his fourth year, and he already has his extension.
Yes.
So, no. I am right. There's no one in their third year. Now, if I remember right, the Jazz didn't have a first-round pick that year. We wanted Damian Lillard, but we just didn't have the assets to go get him.
Oh,
we could have, but it would have been like we would have had to like trade Derek Favors or something to move up to get Lillard.
Thank you, John, because I think now all of this conversation you just said gave me reason to convince Devin to delete a portion of the podcast. So you just brought up Damian Lillard. That's enough. He's just going to cancel
Golden
this part
State,
out.
You brought up Mark Jackson. Why would you do that?
That man's name did not pass my lips.
Oh, dear. All right, I'm not the only one up in the night. John, I wouldn't call you up in the night, but you just went places you weren't supposed to there, man.
What are you talking about? It's okay.
I think Devin needs
Damian might be a possibility. If Portland's, like, sucking, maybe they're like, maybe we should just see what we can get for Damian, too, and just, like, go Philadelphia the next couple years.
Now you're up in the night.
I know, they'd be crazy to get rid of him.
Damian will go to Salt Lake City, play with Gordon Hayward, Alec Burks, Rudy Gobert, and Derek Favors, and the Jazz win an NBA title.
No, Damian's staying in Portland, and they're going after Harrison Barnes in the offseason.
Ooh.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, with a lineup of Lillard, McCollum, and Barnes, whoa. What, dude, that's dynamic. That's not a bad thought. Devin, well done. Way to bring us back from up in the night to relevancy again.
Yeah, to Portland being really good. Portland's not doing bad this year, though. A lot of people said they would be like
they've lost six in a row.
Never mind.
A lot of people said like they'd be the worst. Who are you talking about that said that? Oh, I don't know.
You
John.
Guys?
John.
I might not be wrong. They lost six in a row.
After they shellacked the Jazz.
And then they beat the Grizzlies, and then it all went downhill from there, and I don't know why.
Yes, Devin, nice try. That was a feeble try at that, but it was a nice try.
Yep.
All right, so we did our quick hits. Nicely done, Devin. Did we hit the three topics you wanted tonight, John?
I was going to talk a little bit more about the bottom of the West.
All right.
Kind of look at what's going on there, if you think any trades will be made.
Okay.
The Sacramento Kings situation is just fascinating. And I just wonder how much longer they're going to let that thing go on.
Fascinating is not the word I'm thinking of, but okay, go ahead.
Are we talking about this season, or are we talking like over the franchise history? Because it's been this way, John, for the past 10 years.
It has. But they are in a situation where they have hired a really, really good coach.
Hall of Fame coach.
Kind of an older guy, might be having problem relating with people, but you know, he seemed to relate to Nuggets players pretty good a couple years ago, and then management just let him walk because they didn't like how he dealt with them. So you know, the Kings bring him on for the last 20 games of the year, whatever it was last year, and now this is supposed to be his first full season. Hasn't been going well. They're 4-7 right now. There's been clashes with Cousins, and it seems like Cousins clashes with everybody, but you know, maybe they're turning it around. Maybe something's finally clicking because they've won three in a row. And I just wonder if they've worked something out to where Cousins and Carl are kind of realizing we're going to be together. They have this upcoming 5-game road trip, so maybe they just, you know, lose the first couple and then it all falls off again. But that's one where it just seems like a really volatile situation. And if anything, I really blame the owners and the front office for what's been going on there. Vlade Divac just doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Suddenly, I've got this meme painted in my head of Vlade Divac as the evil warlord of the team, and then you have, based on what you just painted for us, you have George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins holding hands and skipping down the meadow towards the sunset.
Well, you know, the NBA loves to take risks with players becoming coaches, even though they don't have any experience. And sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't. But when you have players jump right into GM roles, I can't think of when that's ever worked out that great.
No, I agree.
I mean, there have been guys who can do it. Larry Bird is pretty good at it.
MJ but jumped Divots, right in.
It's just not working.
Oh, MJ, perfect example.
MJ, yeah. You know, there you go.
He was a pretty decent player, but I don't think I'd want him as my GM.
I'm still mad over John's casual little humph when I talk about George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins skipping happily with hand in hand, but whatever.
Alan's still up in the night.
Anyway, bad teams in the West.
You gotta play that song from Wizard of Oz when they wake up from the poppies.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, in other words, everybody, it is not the Emerald City in Sacramento right now. It's not even close. It's nasty. It's ugly. So who are your worst team? I mean, who's the worst team in the West? Has to be the Lakers, doesn't it?
It's the Lakers.
It is the Lakers.
I mean, I think that once the Pelicans get healthy, they'll win some more games. But when you look at a team that has absolutely no chance of being good as long as they have that coach there, it's the Lakers. You know. Thanks, honey. She thought I made it funny.
You know what? It was perfect, though. It was perfectly timed and everything. I thought it was great.
This is the first podcast we've had a live studio audience, so.
Yes, and the live studio audience gave the laugh where it was needed. That was perfect.
Well, she lived in L.A. as a kid during the Magic Johnson year, so she remembers when they were good.
Yeah.
But, you know, Byron Scott, I mean.
That was back when Byron Scott was a player.
When he was the player, and he's a good player. Now I'm pretty comfortable in saying he's probably the worst coach in the NBA right now.
I would agree.
I can't think of anyone worse.
No, I can't really produce any other names right now. No. No,
it's still the Lakers.
Yeah, they're horrible. So you've got the Lakers and the worst team. So who's your next? Is it Sacramento? Is Sacramento right there?
No, I think Pelicans have to be second worst.
Okay.
Because Sacramento just has more talent. And granted, a lot of it's dysfunctional, but, you know, they'd be my 13th. They'd be the third worst.
Right.
But I'd still put Pelicans below them because Pelicans just have yet to show any kind of identity.
Lakers, Pelicans, Sacramento. And I think I know who your fourth worst team is going to be. And Devin, if you want to close your ears when we say it, we'll go ahead and give you an opportunity to do so.
Nope, I can take it.
Portland.
Portland.
Yeah. I really wish that I could put a screenshot of Devin's face right now on this podcast. It would be great.
It's early in the season. There is a lot of basketball to be played.
All right.
There is.
Yes, there is. Who's after Portland? Fifth worst.
Weirdly enough, it's Houston.
Ooh.
Houston has just been awful so far. And one stat I heard earlier was that not only is their defense bad, but it's not just when Dwight Howard's off the floor. Even with Dwight Howard on the floor, they're still in like the bottom three when it comes to defending the paint. That he's just not making a difference. In fact, let me put it this way. Every single team that has played against them has scored over 100 points. They have not held a single team to under 100 points.
So my question is, do they right the ship before the midway point of the season?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen to right the ship? You know,
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a team that was in the Western Conference Finals.
I know. And the chemistry is just shot. I mean, you know, okay, Beverly, he had an ankle injury thing.
Beverly's
maybe he's
a mess
missed a
right
game.
Now.
But, you know, the only real guy they're missing is Monta Hunes. And he has yet to play this year. But is he really that big of a factor?
No.
Is he like the glue? Is he like the one guy that can bring everybody together and get them to play? I mean, it's just been weird.
Well, and
Harden's still not shooting very good.
Well, and you ask the question, what will it take for them to right the ship? My question to you is, what's the reason why they fell so far? Who is the single reason why they fell so far?
Could it be that Ty Lawson is just a cancer?
I wondered
Nuggets,
when you'd go
Nuggets
there.
Were bad last year.
Right?
They traded him away for nothing. He goes to the Rockets, and now the Rockets suck.
Could it be that Ty Lawson is the reason that James Harden's bad offensively right now?
You know, maybe. Harden's still the leading assist man on the team, although Lawson's not that far behind. You know, it's hard to say. I'm trying to remember who they played. I watched about half of a Houston game earlier in the year, and then everything else has been like watching the 3-minute summary highlights of their games.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I look like at the stats and everything, it's like, okay, Harden's shooting 37%, Lawson's shooting 33%. Both of them are shooting under 30% from three, and they take a lot of threes. Marcus Thornton has been one of their best players, which just seems really, really weird.
Yeah.
Ariza hasn't been himself. They've just been really disconnected. I think it was the Stargers were talking about it, where they said that the Rockets just look really disinterested on defense, where they just kind of give up on their guy and just. And the fire is just not there. And I don't know what Kevin McHale needs to do, but it's as if he's already lost his team and we just started.
Which is not a good thing if you're Kevin McHale, because hello, hot seat.
Yeah.
So. Yep. Interesting group of teams at the bottom of the West right now. Houston being one of them. So. I want to throw another news item today, or by the time everybody listens to this, yesterday. LeBron James passed Jerry West as 19th all-time on the scoring list, moving his way up. Last week he was the quickest player to, 25,000 points? This week he's up to 19th on the all-time scoring list. So, I mean, for anybody that's not caught up with the NBA right now, there's some special players in the NBA to watch right now. Steph Curry, LeBron James. You know, I mean, there's some fun things to watch. So, you got to
Mario Chalmers.
Oh, this podcast went in the dumpster. In the dumpster. Yeah.
Have you seen what's happened since he went to Memphis?
Have they improved?
Oh my gosh, yes. Memphis was awful. Yeah, he's coming off the bench. Memphis was awful. They're 3-6, and then he starts playing. They've won all three of their games, and he's been scoring 18.7 points a game. He's been shooting 58% from three. Memphis, which is like the worst three-pointing shooting team in the NBA. They get Chalmers, and he's putting up four a game, and he's making 58% of them. And it's been a world of difference for them.
And, oh, by the way, they don't lose anything on defense. In fact, they get better on defense.
No, they don't.
He's a great defender, too. In fact, yeah, I mean, didn't they give
up? They've been great.
Wasn't Beno Udrih part of that trade? So they send Udrih, who is a, you know, an isolation one-on-one, you know, offensive-minded guard, send him to Miami, and they bring in a guy that, of everything that you and I just spoke about, that you just brought up, that he's just, I mean, you're right. That is an improvement. I actually thought that was a good trade for Memphis from the start. I thought that was going to be a great opportunity for Memphis.
Yeah, I did too, and it's worked out tremendously for them so far.
All right, so fine. Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Mario Chalmers, people. Watch the NBA. So, okay. Well, that's our hits for the week. That's our thoughts for the week. Anything else you want to contribute or add this evening?
I think we're good. Let's wrap up.
All right. Thank you all for listening to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. You can find us on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, Jedi Zog, Torn by Devin, and Germs Guy. And you can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. Please go out and find us on iTunes and Stitcher, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. Leave us a review, like us, help us out. We can use that help. iTunes, they rank us and make it much easier to be found in the NBA realm, in the Utah Jazz realm of podcasts. And we appreciate it very much. We appreciate that y'all listen to us and that you take us along for your day sometimes. Again, give us your feedback. Let us know what you think. If we missed anybody tonight, if you think we're up in the night. Yes, I just said that, up in the night. Holler at us. Let us know. Thank you, and have a good week, folks. Go Jazz. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.